it's there. You can't see it. It's surrounding. Welcome, welcome one and all. Welcome in again to the Scani Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, again. And we do not have Aaron Flottam as per usual. Aaron Flottam this week is actually with the National Guard in southern Wisconsin doing flood control. So, he's busy. Stepping into his shoes, of course, is a 12-year-old boy, as it should be, right? And this is my son, Joshua, helping me out here, bringing in, of course, the freshest of hot takes. How are you doing, Josh?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm still wonderful. So, and I'm trying to fill Josh in on how this goes and whatnot. He's listened to us a little bit, but I don't know if he's fully prepared for all the hot takes. He does clearly as much research, I think, as Aaron does. Because you're ready, right?
None.
Exactly. So you're set. You're set, right?
Yeah, I'm set for life.
Good. All right. We were going through a couple things we want to talk about, and as we usually do, we're going to start with the Brewers. And today's the day where the Brewers beat the Cubs in the first game of their new series. They just took 2 out of 3 in Washington after they had taken 2 out of 3 with the Reds on the road before that. So kind of hanging around. Now after beating the Cubs, the Brewers are 4 games back, but the Nationals, after... you know, being nice enough to implode for us, I guess, in that last game of their series, giving up 7 runs in 1 inning. You were there watching that one, right?
Yeah. The 3-run Keon Broxton home run and then the grand slam by Yelich.
Yep. It's perfect. It was just, and that was after a point where we had been driving just before that, and there was some, I had been very upset because they, of course, got out to a short lead and then gave it up immediately to go down 4-2, and then they came back and made it 9-4 very quickly, and that was the final score in that game. But today with the Cubs got out front early. It stayed 1-0 for a good long time, and then they managed to kind of tie it up at the end. Came down to the ninth inning, actually tied it up in the eighth on a walk by Moustakas, and then after that they got bases loaded, and then they took Yelich coming up to the plate. Josh, why don't you describe how that went after that?
So Yelich came up to the plate. He hit a bouncer to third towards the third base bag. And Bryant steps on the base while Yelich is sprinting as fast as he can. And Bryant goes to throw him out, but Yelich is safe. A walk-off fielder's choice.
Right. Fielder's choice. It's better than getting the walk-off walk or the walk-off balk, I guess. But nice. He beat it out, at least. So it was a good play. And afterwards, Josh, you don't know this yet, but Cole Hamels decided to tell people in Chicago, he's like, it's not even a real rivalry. There's so many Cubs fans in the stands. And the sheer fact that he felt the need to make those comments, I think, describes that it is a bit of a rivalry for them. Obviously, it's not the Cubs' biggest rivalry. They'd rather beat the Cardinals than beat us, and that's fine. They've been playing each other for a while. But yeah, good win for the Brewers. Took care of some business there, and 4 games out. We got 2 more games in Chicago, or 2 more games at home, and then we will have 3 games against Chicago next week in Chicago. So, I don't know, Josh, what do you think? What do you think they're going to do with the Cubs the next couple games here?
Well, our pitching, our bullpen pitching has been okay recently, but I think we need to, like, step up our like willingness to take balls, because sometimes we're just swinging at first pitches a lot.
Okay, that's an interesting take. Yeah, so we've got, Cubs, then Giants. I don't know, Giants haven't been that great. Do you think we're going to do all right with that?
I mean, they don't really have all that great players. They got an old team, so.
They still got a good manager, though, so they have that going for them. But we'll see. Then we get to have the Cubs again next week, just same Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday lineup, just... we'll be playing in Wrigley Field then. And then get the Pirates and the Reds and then the Pirates and just kind of finish out with the division after that. So I don't know, Josh. Do you think the Brewers make the playoffs?
Well, we'll have to see what other teams do. But if we keep playing like we have been, I think we have a shot.
I think the best thing, and I'll let you go with your weak take there, just the maybe take. But I think the best thing going for the Brewers right now is that they have been winning close games, and they've had a couple of games where they've come from behind and come back. And I'd kind of lost faith in them doing that. So, yeah, at this point, I think they get one of those two wild card spots. I don't think they catch the Cubs. How about you?
Well, if the Cubs...
If you were putting your own money on the line.
I was putting my own money on the line. Okay.
Which is my money.
Of course. So I'm more willing to bet on anything now. I'm guessing that the Cubs keep playing like they have been the last couple games and just keep... You know, like, they have great... They have really good team and a lot of talent, and I think that they're gonna get the division spot, and I think we might get one of the two wild spots, though.
Alright.
Wild card spots.
Alright, good. So we'll move on, because that's kind of what we need for the Brewers. Like, we're closing in on things, and I think we're gonna get it. Josh feels pretty confident about the Brewers getting one of those two wild card spots. Pulling away from the Cardinals is the big thing. If we can do that, I think we're all set. But we'll move on then to, of course, what Wisconsin really cares about, which is football. And we get something that was like football this week. Got to watch the Badgers play the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky. And got a 34-3 game. The Hilltoppers were down in the Badger territory at 1.2 and then had this weird fake reverse throwback pass that got picked off. And
it was a questionable decision.
Yeah, I don't know. This is not what I expected, I guess, from the Badgers. I thought they'd get more points. Jonathan Taylor had, when he ended up with 147 yards rushing, I believe. I'm just checking as we go here now. And we did have, 145. He had a 47-yard touchdown run, but he had 145 yards on 18 carries, 8 yards per, and 2 touchdowns in the first half, basically. Taiwan Deal came in. Hornibrook, 257 yards, 2 touchdowns. They all had nice, decent games, but you kind of were hoping for more from this team. They slowed down in the second half. They were up 24-0 at halftime and then only scored 10 more points. They just kind of, I don't know, they kind of trailed off. And they were without Danny Davis yet for this game and in one more game. They'll have him back. Garrett Groshek had a screen pass for a touchdown. And A.J. Taylor and Kendrick Pryor did very well keeping the team involved and keeping the passing game going. And, yeah, I just kind of wanted to see more. You would like to see a shutout from a team against, you know, this sort of thing at home.
Right? Yeah, because they're not ranked, and I'd like to have seen a shutout. Because we have a way better team than they do.
Yeah, and they graduated a lot of their offense from last year, so they had, I don't know, they had some weak spots on that team there, so... I don't know what else you'd take from this game. If we start our starters the whole way through, it was going to be 50 to, you know, to nothing. But I don't know. I just was not overwhelmed yet, so hopefully they get a little wake up here and start playing better. But, you know, moving on from one clear-cut giant matchup against, you know, Western Kentucky, we have the New Mexico Lobos next for the Badgers. And it's important now. We have some actual games to look at. And, Josh, who did New Mexico play last week?
The Incarnate Word Cardinals.
Yes, the University of Incarnate Word. And that's in El Paso, I believe.
No, San Antonio.
San Antonio, you're right. It is in San Antonio. They have been playing football at that university since the 2009 season. They started as a D2 school and then moved to FCS in 2013. So that is who New Mexico State played last week, a team that has once finished fourth in their own conference, and other than that, they finished ninth, eighth, and ninth. They are in the first year of head coach Eric Morris, so they were definitely starting things off all over the place. Their previous head coach had been 20-46 for his career. They've never had a winning coach. They've only had two winning seasons in school history. So, yeah. I think that I looked it up, too. They'd only played, this is their fourth game. Oh, I'm sorry. No, there've been several games here against football bowl subdivision teams. They've played, they have several more to play, but this was their fourth game. They have one more scheduled this year. They have two more on the schedule for next year. But they lost last year, in 2017 season, they lost to Fresno State 66-0. So yeah, this has not been a team that was going to give you a huge thing, but they did lose only 62-30 to New Mexico in New Mexico. So
they might beat North Texas.
We'll see, I guess. Yeah, that's the next year game. Yeah. Oh no, that's the one later this year, I guess. So they get to play North Texas this year, but that's interesting, I guess. But still, it'll be Incarnate Word Cardinals. Not really the sort of matchup that gives you a whole lot of information about how to play against the Badgers, pardon me. But they're not gonna score 62 on the Badgers.
I feel like they're gonna score somewhere around like 0.00.
If you'd have given me a 0.002, that would have been, I don't know, we'd have had to work on the math, but you're just full on, you're calling the shutout now.
I'm betting your money.
Okay, well, what if we were betting something that was yours? You know, what if we were betting your desserts?
I don't eat desserts.
No, that's true.
I'd still go with
okay
a shutout, because, I mean, they only scored 62 against Incarnate Word.
All right. Well, we're definitely going to score more than 30 points then, because our offense is quite a bit better than Incarnate Word. The fact that they gave up 30 points to this school is kind of
pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, they started off 28-7 in the first quarter. Incarnate Word threw for 328 yards. Well, their starting quarterback threw for 328 yards, a touchdown and a pick. That's John Copeland. Raquan Dickens, their number one receiver for Incarnate Word, the Cardinals. He had 101 yards. They had another receiver with 96. Oh, I'm sorry, it's rushing yards. He had 110 rushing yards. Another guy, looks like he had zero carries for 96. I bet he picked up a fumble or something. Either way, they had two different receivers go over 100 yards receiving. So they definitely found ways to get yards and points on this team. Nothing. All right. So we're looking here now also at New Mexico's people. They have three different people who threw at least one pass. So they might try to be kind of tricky. They threw for 300. Their starting quarterback, Tevaka Tuioti. I'm sorry. Tuioti. He completed about two-thirds of his passes for 327 yards, four touchdowns and a pick. So I don't know, Josh, you worried that they at least have some kind of offense that might put up something with us? I mean, like, they got 62. I mean, yeah, it's against Incarnate Word, but 62 points on a team. That 62 points is hard to get. You don't think that they're going to get anything at all? No points.
He was 13 for 21. Like, he only threw 21 passes.
Probably because they were winning 62-30. They did have a runner with 5 carries and 90 yards. Their other running back, he went 20 carries, 58. It looks like a team that can be stopped, it seems. Like, they have a bunch of people who are getting kind of average numbers against what should have been a pretty easy opponent. It's not even a top FCS school.
So you have the top FBS school, the low FBS schools, the high FCS schools, and the lowest FCS school, Incarnate Word.
Yeah, it's not a very good showing. I think that we're going to start seeing Pryor and Taylor getting a bunch of yards, AJ Taylor getting a bunch of yards in that passing game this week. I think we'll slow down again and start putting in Taiwan Deal, getting him his carries in that second half. This is another one that looks like it's going to be done at halftime.
Well, it looks like neither of these teams, Incarnate Word or New Mexico, has corners, because each team's gave up over 320 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely is. That's a ton of yards for everybody to be giving up all over the place in that one. So I think we're calling it. I think whatever it is that the line is on this game, especially if the Badgers are going in, they've been maintaining that who cares attitude from last year. They've been talking about that all offseason, that they don't care what their record was last year or what they did last year. And if they mean that, then they should come out and be a little unhappy with how they played last week and start coming out and being angry with this week and hopefully put up a much better score and hang in there. So they don't want to be embarrassed in the way that Penn State had a problem last week with their opener against Appalachian State. So, all right. So the last thing though, we're going to go over Green Bay Packers football.
I think that if the Packers keep, so we kept like 12 wideouts or something like that. I think if Aaron Rodgers stays
Eight
healthy,
wideouts.
12 wideouts. I think if Aaron
No.
Rodgers stays healthy, we're
No.
gonna do pretty well. But if he gets hurt, I think Kaiser will do okay.
It was eight wideouts. They only kept eight wideouts and then four tight ends, I
Yeah,
guess,
like
maybe.
12, like in total.
Okay, well those aren't wideouts. Okay.
Oh.
So we're clear. Four wide rece eight wide receivers plus four tight ends.
Which kind of surprised me, actually.
Yeah, which one of those guys did you think wasn't gonna make it?
Did Kumerow make it?
He was on the injured.
Oh.
So they're saying he's too hurt to play here. We'll pull it up for you, Josh.
Okay.
Of the pass catchers here though, oops. Too far. We got Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, Geronimo Allison. We had those down. Jamon Moore, Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Equanimeous. Three middle names, Amun-Ra,
No.
Tristan.
Amun-Ra is his brother. Yeah, Kumerow's on there, but I think they had him listed as injured or whatever.
I kind of had us keeping Yancey or Jennings. I kind of thought we're going to keep one or the other.
Really? You thought Adonis Jennings was making it?
I thought Yancey would make it over Davis.
Over Davis?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess the one I'm most surprised on at this point is Trevor Davis. I mean, I think that the big lesson we're taking out of the number of wide receivers is we're keeping several receivers who are our special teams guys instead of where we normally keep them, which is cornerbacks and safeties. So that's the thing. Valdes-Scantling, Trevor Davis, those guys are going to be on some return teams. And Coach McCarthy was talking up Trevor Davis as a special teams guy here and there, and it was just like we were saying, just trying to get everybody ready for the idea that Trevor Davis was making this team because he didn't play till the fourth game, right?
Played a little in the third game, just like two
Okay.
downs or something.
Yeah, I thought Yancey was done for this team. How about our big boy, Big Bob Robert Tonyan?
He made a couple nice catches. I
Any
mean, I wasn't surprised. I wouldn't have been surprised if we kept him or like got rid of him because, you know, that's a roster spot.
That is, yeah, I suppose. And it's interesting. I guess he's just so many of these different picks that they went with here. He's a guy who's at least young. And I guess when you look at the rest of the tight end room, you've got Mercedes Lewis, Lance Kendricks, Jimmy Graham. Each of them has been around the league for a little while and been their like their third contract at least, I think. So Robert Tonyan might just be a way of saying like we eventually are going to need to replace one of these guys with somebody else. And so that's the big one. The thin parts here on this roster, the eight wide receiver group thinned out some other places. We no longer have a fullback. Joe Kerridge, Aaron Ripkowski, both gone. And the general thinking is Mercedes Lewis is going to be your fullback, or at
You
least
might
your
be like the
blocker.
flex spot.
Yeah, like an H-back.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of role that he can run. And then keeping Tim Boyle, which I guess to me doesn't make any sense because he was definitely a guy who was making a practice squad. No, nobody's going out to get Tim Boyle.
No one's gonna be like, we need him. Only him.
Yeah, I guess the thought is we call the Taysom Hill factor here. We thought Taysom Hill would make it to our practice squad last year, and then he ended up playing in New Orleans, which is where Vince Beagle landed for us this year. But was it now, Teddy Bridgewater's in New Orleans, so maybe Taysom Hill becomes available again. I guess I didn't check on him, but with three quarterbacks, it's not something the Packers are going to do, so it's not really worth the mental effort. But I guess I was surprised that we took up a roster spot with a quarterback that we don't think is that good.
I mean, maybe we put him in a trade to get some extra picks or something.
You think anyone's going to trade something for our third quarterback, though?
I mean, the odds are, like, two quarterbacks are going to get hurt.
Don't say that out loud.
Okay.
Oh, that's scary. Yeah, I mean, Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery are basically the only two running backs on the roster right now because Aaron Jones is going to be deserving a suspension and Devontae Mays went on the injured reserve.
Do you think we go sign one? Like a rookie free agent?
I don't know. We did bring back Joel Bonio for the practice squad, I know. So at least he'll be around the team, and if anything really goes bad, they can put him on the practice squad and move him back up if they really need to. But hopefully we don't have to worry about that. The offensive line, kind of what you expected. Coffey, Amichia, Austin Davis, Adam Pankey, Dylan Day, all released. Kyle Murphy goes to the injured reserve. We're looking at the starting five from last... Well, not starting five from last year. The four returning starters are back. Justin McCray, Byron Bell, Jason Spriggs is back, Lucas Patrick is back, and Alex Light. Defensive line is going to be pretty much what we thought it would look like. We're bringing back Kenny Clark, Mike Daniels, Muhammad Wilkerson, and then we'll be rotating in Dean Lowry, Matravius Adams. And I'm sorry to see James Looney go. I think all the people on this team
want his name.
Yeah. I think the others, and on a personal note, sad to see two Badgers getting cut on the same day by the Packers.
I would have rather, like, I kind of like Sheehy.
I think he's a nice, he played a nose in college, which helps, but, I mean, if anything happens, we'll move Daniels or somebody to the nose, and we don't really need to have Connor Sheehy. He was a luxury. He was a camp luxury. And I hope he catches on and has a nice career, because he's definitely a hard worker and a guy who fits a lot of schemes, especially any 3-4. He's a guy who played it in college and did very well. Vince Beagle getting released, we were very sad to see that.
I would have rather kept him over Kyler Fackrell, because Fackrell just gets ran over by running backs.
Yeah, that is. We have now Matthews and Perry starting, and behind them are Reggie Gilbert and Kyler Fackrell again, he's a zombie. He's undying. He's a more of a vampire. A roster vampire. Whereas we were talking last week about the Brewers who are, you know, zombie Ryan Braun coming back from the dead. Kyler Fackrell has never really died. He just kind of hangs around. He's an undying vampire. He just hangs out there on the roster. And I don't know what exactly blackmail he has on the coaching staff.
But he's that one guy at a party who just doesn't leave.
A lot of parties, Josh.
Clearly.
Nice.
Those Saturday nights.
Whatever. Kendall Donerson and Greer Martini, both of them made the practice squad, so at least we have some young linebacker depth on the team that we'll get some time to practice and see what they can turn into later. All of those are people who I hope eventually we're replacing Jake Ryan, who I like, but as a backup. I think that's where he belongs. Sad, again, in the name department, people getting cut. Donatello Brown, which that sounds like a name that was invented for a television show.
It seems like a painter.
Well, yeah, that's the easy one. Well, we kind of had an idea where this was going. Josh Hawkins, Demetri Goodson also released. Tremont Williams, Kevin King, Devin House, Jair Alexander, Josh Jackson, Herb Waters. Herb Waters, of course, will have his own product line at Whole Foods. It'll just be, you know, pieces of basil stuck in a glass.
He should have his at Gander Mountain.
That's not just Gander, yeah. Herb Waters. Quentin Rollins goes to the injured reserve so he can hang out for another year. If we were to figure out if he gets, I mean, he's only had 4 or 5 years to get better. And safety is pretty much what you're looking at. Josh Jones, Kentrell Bryce, Haha, Jermaine Whitehead, and Raven Green, I guess, though. And Marwin Evans is gone.
I kind of didn't want Josh Jones because there's just plays where he's just, like, he's not even, he just gives up too early on the ball when he could get to it.
Really? Okay. I guess my biggest worry on Josh Jones tends to be usually he seems to move faster than he thinks when he ends up on the wrong side of the play. And he's got the speed to get himself back to it often enough, but he's had some problems with that.
See?
Yeah. How do you see, looking at what we've got here on the team now, and I guess the other big news for the Packers is that we have talked about the entire thing of Khalil Mack and whether or not he'd come to the Packers and what we would do with him and how great it would be. And also, I think Aaron and I have been very consistent that we didn't think that was a possibility at all. But now he's a Chicago Bear. And I have consistently said that I've been worried about Aaron Rodgers getting no warm-up time in this preseason. He's thrown 4 passes. Wasn't even active for a couple of games. And now the Bears defense, I mean, they've got Roquan Smith. They've got Kyle Fuller. You know, he's a real name, Kyle, not Kyler. And they're going to have the rest of that defense that was pretty good last year. And now they're going to add in, you know, their new middle linebacker and Khalil Mack. It's not a pushover defense, and we're not prepared, I don't think. I don't, Josh, what do you think on this?
So they went from, like, 15th to, like, 4th.
4th? Okay, what are the defenses you think are better than the Bears right now?
Okay, I'm just going to say ours, even though it's not. Okay. The Patriots have an okay defense.
Especially in point scoring.
Yeah. The Eagles had a good defense last year.
And they did get better, too. They added to theirs. About
the Ravens have an okay defense, I think.
Yeah, theirs is okay. With Jacksonville.
Well, they got decent corners.
Or Carolina, something like
Carolina,
that. Carolina,
yeah.
Yeah, so the thing in Minnesota.
Minnesota's got a great defense, too.
I'd say they're at least into the top 10 now. I think that that's something that's reasonable to say at this point. One of the great things people are saying is when people complain that now the Bears are going to be good, they go, well, don't you know one of the reasons the Raiders traded to the Bears is that they felt they were most likely to get a very good draft pick because the Bears are terrible? And you're like, yeah, well, that assumes that you believe the Raiders know enough about football to make that call accurately. Even if the Raiders did think that, which it seems they did, which is not a terrible reason to trade somebody to a team like that, but the Bears don't have a bad defense. They had a pretty decent defense, and they needed to get their young quarterback up to speed, but they've added Allen Robinson to that offense.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, and they added also the defense, too. They went out and signed Allen Robinson, so they've got a decent offense now. Not great, but the thing is, their defense is really, it's a good defense. And we're going to start off playing the Bears and Vikings at home. And those are games that you have to win. You have to win those 2 home games to have a chance in the division. So now we're stuck with playing, you know, hoping Aaron is, you know, they say he looks great in practice, but practices just aren't games. And his game speed with all these new receivers we just kept, we'll see how that looks, I guess. Oh, Josh, final thoughts on the Packers.
Okay, so the Bears went from in my mind, I think they have one of the best rush defenses in the league. But I don't know if they have, like, that great a pass defense. But, I mean, they can play Khalil Mack wherever they want to. So, we'll have to see how that plays out. And I still think the Vikings win the division, but I think it's between the Packers and the Bears who gets the wild card.
Okay. So you think the Bears have improved enough to be a possible wild card contender at this point, huh?
Well, if Trubisky or Mike Glennon can play well enough.
Okay. So like we said, let's go through week by week. What do you think the Bears at home starting off the season? Packers or Bears?
If Aaron is, like, on and can play, then I say Packers 24, Bears 17.
Okay.
But if he's not, I say Bears 17, Packers 10.
Oof. Okay, but make one call. Who's winning that game?
Packers.
Packers win. Okay, Packers Vikings the week after. Vikings in Lambeau? Okay. And then playing in Washington week 3. Packers or Washington?
Packers.
Okay. And then Buffalo Bills in a game that your mother and I will be attending. Buffalo Bills on September 30th.
Packers.
Okay. Then in Detroit.
They've improved that defense a little bit. We might not be able to score as many points, but I think we'll still get like 2 touchdowns. So Packers.
Okay. And then the new and improved 49ers at home, October 15th.
The 49ers are still trash. Packers.
Nice. Would have rubbed that in there. Okay, Rams in L.A. Week 8.
I think the Rams season depends on Jared Goff. And I think that Jared Goff, if he has a season like last season, he's going to be okay. But Packers.
And they got Todd Gurley. Yeah, they got that defense. They went out and got Aqib Talib, and they went out and got Brandon Cooks.
I think
you got Packers Rams, winning on the road, huh?
Rams,
okay. Then at New England the following week.
I hate them, so I'm going to say Packers.
Okay. Dolphins at home in November.
Packers.
I think we're at 7. In Seattle.
Seattle lost a ton of key players, so Packers.
Okay. Vikings in week 12 in Minnesota. You had them beating us at Lambeau, so what do you think?
I think Aaron will be better by week 12, so I'm going to say Packers.
Okay. Arizona coming into Lambeau December 2nd.
Packers.
Okay. Atlanta Falcons December 9th at Lambeau.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I think Packers, because the Falcons, I mean,
okay,
they don't have much of a defense, really.
All right. Interesting take. Bears in Chicago.
Packers, because Aaron Rodgers is going to be good by then, for sure.
All right, and then finishing up these last two, they got the New York Jets Packers. In New York. Packers, okay. And Detroit at home.
Aaron is always good before the playoffs. Packers.
All right. So I think, according to my count here, you only have us losing to the Rams in week 8.
So 13-3.
And the Vikings. Did you have us losing anyone else?
I had us winning the Bears first round.
Winning the Bears, losing to the Vikings at home, and then just the Rams after that.
Yeah.
That's so 14-2. Yeah. You have a 14-2 season.
I think so, but uh-huh. That's not what my fantasy is going to be.
Yeah, well, if you got us going 14-2, how do we lose the division? You got a 15-1 Vikings team splitting with the Packers? Their only loss is to us in Minnesota?
I guess.
Okay.
Maybe. Now it's not right. As...
I think I'm going to take a couple different ones than you. I think they split those first two. I think they'll win the next two, Washington and Buffalo. I think they'll lose in Los Angeles, and I think they'll lose to the Patriots.
But I don't want them to, was the big thing.
Nah, I was asking what they were going to do. I think they'll win at Seattle. I think they'll lose at Minnesota. Yeah, I think it's set for a possible 12-4, 11-15. So you're 12-4 years is very definitely in reach. That's even if they split those first two, which would be terrible. But yeah, that's the sort of team I think we're looking at right here. Especially if Aaron's healthy all year. If he comes out hot, which would be, again, not the norm for Aaron Rodgers, basically sitting out the preseason, then the Packers are going to be in great shape. Because they'll be a game up on the Vikings at least at that point if they can win their first two. And defending home field. But if they come out slow, they're going to waste a couple home field games and then be in trouble. So, but yeah, getting ready for Thursday night. There'll be NFL football. We've got the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the first game with the Falcons to get the season started on Thursday, Packers on Sunday night, and getting ready for Packers-Bears. Always exciting, right, Josh?
Yes.
Yes. Got to beat the Bears. Just remember, everybody, the Bears still suck, regardless of what happens on Sunday night. But I guess at this point, it's time to wrap up our week. Josh, we'll be a little shorter this week. It's a lot easier taking control of the show with this 12-year-old with me than with the other 12-year-old who's actually 39. So we'll have you back at some point, Josh, right?
Yes.
Have you talk Brewers with us or something. Get ready for the playoffs.
I'm ready as good as Flatten.
That's true. And Aaron will hear that later, and I'm sure he'll agree. So, anyhow, as saying goodbye here for both Josh and myself, I just want everybody to remember that you can follow this podcast. First off, we're available on iTunes and Google Play. So you can find us there. When you go there, please do give us 5 stars and write us a little review and a rating. Tell us if there's other things you want us to talk about. You can also reach us at our Twitter handles. It's first off, you can reach the show at ScottyJohnny1. You can reach myself at JBarn54. Aaron, of course, is still available at CheddarTalk. And you can email us at theScottyJohnny@gmail.com. ScottyJohnny@gmail.com. And of course, remember that whether you're on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.